Would you like by, for the benefit of the people listening to the tape, introduce yourself?
Well, I had, you were the only one that ever come. And I just don't know what there is here that it might be of interest to you in those papers, probably.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you, begin by telling me your name, your full name, and when you were born and where you were born?
Well, my mother gave me the name of Echo, E-C-H-O, and my father was James, Charlie James. There were five of them, and I've often thought it very strange that mother and my father should have become interested in each other, that she should in him, because she was very, very refined, very dainty and delicate about everything, and he was just cross and overbearing, and so much so that I was always afraid of him as a child. I was just, and Colonel Cornelius, they insisted on me coming, living with them, because of discomfort and fear and all that existed with me, and my mother died when she was only 35 years old, so that my brother and I were left separate and never got to be together again.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives were a sad problem. I can't.
You lived with Colonel Cornelius then?
So like, and my father's sister, Mrs. Phelps, her name was, and who lived in Portland, got the impression that I was, that my father was repaying them for taking care of me, paying them financially, which wasn't true. He never paid a dollar from out for me in his life.
Mr. Cornelius took care of you for free then?
And he took care of me, and his wife, you see, was my mother's older sister, so that it worked out that way, and they were very, very close, and I was happy to be with them. Then when they took, the father's sister got the idea that I was, she was getting paid for taking care of me.
Yeah.
And they took me away and took me to Portland, and I got to work with the Eva and Emma Dimmock, who are two girls that were managing the telephone office at that time between Portland and Vancouver.
Uh-huh. And during this time that you were living with Colonel Cornelius, you say you enjoyed it. Could you describe what Colonel Cornelius looked like, his physical appearance?
He was a very large, overbuilt man, very heavy, and very large and in the build. And I wish that if you're ever out at the coast, he had a beautiful rocking chair made of white wood. Undoubtedly, it's one of these fancy woods that they're using today. And Scott, his son, wrote to my aunt, Mrs. Colonel Cornelius. I'll call her Aunt Dewey just for short, because that's what we children all called her. And told her that he'd like to have his father's rocking chair. And she told him to come and get it. So that it went to Scott Cornelius in Astoria. and some of that family undoubtedly have it yet.
Mm-hmm. You used to sit in this rocking chair with Colonel Cornelius?
Huh?
Did you used to sit in the rocking chair yourself?
Yeah. It had great big wide arms on it, and he had a granddaughter that was a year older than I, and he used to take the two of us and pile us up one on either arm of either chair and sit there and tell us stories, and he liked to sing, and he would sing. But this all happened so long ago that I don't remember what the songs were that he sung or anything. But undoubtedly they were religious songs, because he was strongly in favor of things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. He was a strong religious man then.
Yes, and my mother's people were all very religious people. My grandmother's father was a Methodist minister, and they all that was just a part of our lives, so we just didn't know anything else but just being interested in following up with a Christian church life.
Mm-hmm. Was there a church here in Cornelius that
they helped build it? Colonel Cornelius and helped very strongly, helped finance it. Colonel Cornelius was apparently their financial affairs were such that they could do such things. And I remember that my aunt was always looking out for them, and he together to see that they had food and the things that they needed in their home. And she used wasn't unusual at all for my aunt to have them come, and she'd to their home, and she'd get dinner for them and serve them lunch and things that they needed. So they helped the minister's families out. Mm-hmm. To a marvelous extent.
You remember the building of the church? Was that during your lifetime? The church that Colonel Cornelius built?
It must have been just right during my earliest childhood. It must have been. I was born in 1881, and I don't know, but I have an idea that the church was started about that time.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that they were having such a hard time of it financially to make things go and keep up, and she said that my aunt said that all the Lutheran people will go ahead financially of what we're doing in our church. She says they've got more financial help than we have, and I often wish that I had the strength to go over and keep acquainted with Mr. Bausch now, because it's all turned out that way. The Lutheran Church is the leading church financially.
Hmm.
And so that Auntie knew, she realized what they were going through with it and all.
Mm-hmm. This house that you lived in with Colonel Cornelius, could you describe the house? Was it a big house?
It's still one that lives there. It's still over there on the next block. There yet. And right next to it that he built a big creamery. And the two operated together. And as I say, he started
warehouse over there?
What do the word I want to say? Across from us, on this next block, first he had a grocery store, and then next to it, a man by the name of Kimes started a store too. So there were two stores in that block, and I can remember Colonel Cornelius saying that he wondered how Mr. Kimes would come out, if it would make any difference with him financially, because there were his store there too. And the warehouse was a great big building like the one they have down north of town here now. It was right across the street from where the railroad tracks are.
Was there quite a bit of open space when you were a young girl in this area? I mean, was the land fairly clear?
Well,
was it more or less forest, or was it more or less buildings?
It's hard for me to remember, because my life was so broken up, you see, my mother dying, and I'm being taken to Portland with another family. While they were relatives, that I wasn't acquainted with them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that was a very, very lonesome experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I never enjoyed them as I did the Colonel Cornelius.
Mm-hmm. What was the area like then when you were living with Colonel Cornelius, the Cornelius area?
I just can't remember that feature of it.
Did you play in the hills, in the forest? Did you play in the when you were a young girl?
Yeah. You mean just play for amusement as a child would? Yes. I must have done so. And Scott Cornelius, his son, was in Astoria. And if you're over there and ever want to look Scott, his family up, why, I'm for sure that that Uncle Scott, as I always called him,
mm-hmm.
would gladly tell you and help you out on anything that he could. Although I think Scott himself is dead, and you'd have to inquire into his family,
mm-hmm.
who his children were and all. And that's all left my mind as the result of my having to get out and make my own way after Mother died.
Mm-hmm. When you were, what was the first United States president that you can remember in office? Who was the first president you can remember? United States president.
Well, that goes way back.
You remember the Grover Cleveland administration?
I remember them talking about him, because he was a Democrat and my family were all Republicans. And there was this argument always about whether he was going to win out or whether the Republicans were. I remember that phase of it. But after Mother's death, things were so mixed up. Life never was the same again. Never was happy again.
Colonel Cornelius himself was a Republican?
He was what?
Was he a Republican?
Yeah.
He didn't care for the Democratic presidents then.
No. He was a Republican too. I thought of something last night. Well, I wish I had remembered to tell you, because you'd have been interested. Now I can't think of it at all.
How about
so much for old age and a nuisance.
How about Teddy Roosevelt? Do you remember him? Theodore Roosevelt?
I can remember them speaking about him, talking about it, but I don't seem to remember anything important about it. If I had been with the Cornelius family, why, I'd have been hearing a great deal more, but the family that I went to in Portland were all, they were just interested in money and things of that sort, and it was a different environment entirely from.
Did Colonel Cornelius ever talk about the Indian Wars at all? His battles with the Indians?
I think he undoubtedly did, but I just don't remember it, because I can remember of his speaking about their experience in driving across, having driven across the plains, and the Indians that they met, and they had this is a serious problem. I just want to get it, be sure that I get it right. He never did. I can remember my father saying that Colonel Cornelius never did a day's work in his life. So he said he always hired somebody else to do it. And at that time, I wondered what it meant and what was it all about. But since I've grown, of course I understand it. Now that he had built this big warehouse right in the next block where the railroad tracks are, he built the warehouse, and the farmers all came, delivered their goods at this warehouse, and he ran a grocery store and dry goods store all combined. And this man by the name of Kimes, who had a sort of small store, a young German fellow, was next to him. And my aunt and Colonel had both used to worry about him, for fear things weren't going financially all right for him. Colonel Cornelius was very given to looking up and doing for other people, sacrificing. And my aunt, his wife, as I say, was my mother's older sister. His first wife died as a result of giving birth to these babies. There were three babies, two girls and a boy. She died as a result of that. And my aunt, mother's sister, said, I'm going to marry you. That's in order that I can raise those triplets. She said, somebody's got to take care of them. At which she did. She raised them. And Scott Cornelius was one of those three. I wish if you were at Astoria in that neighborhood, you could meet him or some of his family, because they were very interesting and very, very sincere, and would give you all with their heart's desire to try to help you out on what you want to know. But I just, the fact that Mother died and I was put in different location with different people who didn't care for the same thing that I had been raised to care for religiously at all. So life was just,
just a
heartache.
When you were younger, though, before this, do you remember any Indians at all living here in Cornelius?
Well, you know, that's a feature of it. I've wondered about too. There must have been a few living around here, but I can't remember ever having seen any or been impressed by any at all.
You mentioned that there might have been a couple Indians down below here. Do you remember that?
I just don't remember. I just don't remember that anything of that sort at all about the. And yet there must have been something of the sort going on and existing, but I don't remember it at all. My having had to go to Portland just took everything out of my life that I might have remembered in that respect.
Have you ever found any arrowheads or Indian pottery at all in this area when you were younger?
I don't think so. I know that the young man by the name of John, were digging out in the backyard, and then on this side. Then they went back and were by the alley, and were hoping to find knives or something, but they didn't. He didn't find anything at all, and he was very disappointed, but he was nice about it. He wrote to me after and told me that he was appreciated what I had done in trying to help them to find what they were looking for, but he said they didn't. They had nothing at all. So people across the alley that built that big house, Scott Cornelius, if I'm not mistaken, Scott Cornelius helped to build that house. And
did Colonel Cornelius help to build this house, the one you're living in right now?
He had this house thrown up and built because the sister, his daughter's husband died in San Diego. They were living in San Diego, and he died and was buried there, and Colonel Cornelius had this house thrown up immediately and had her come up here with she and her daughter Lula, and lived in this house for a while, for a year or two, and then he married two young men from the east came west, and a couple of the girls here, Lulu's mother was one of them, fell for them and then married them, and he built this house across the big square house across the alley. I think I've got that right. I think that all the fact of mother's death and my having to go to Portland to live just broke into my life as a child, probably about 15 years old.
When did you come back to Cornelius then?
Not till after we were married. Years years ago, Ray Shaw came up here to visit the home crowd. His mother had, father had died and was buried there in San Diego. And Ray came back up here to be married, and he said, "Now I'm coming back next year and we'll be married and we'll live here." And that's the way our marriage happened.
How old were you when you were married?
About 20. About eight, someplace between 18 and 20, I just don't know. It's raining so hard outside. I can see the water just pouring down.
Mm-hmm.
So, but life's a mix-up. An awful mix-up.
When you were married, you moved back here to Cornelius then?
We lived in Portland several years. Had a very comfortable, nice home with hardwood floors and all the things that we enjoy having now. And Father Waite, who was pastor of the Catholic Church that was just joined us, right, lived there in the church building. He used to come over every little while to see me, and all, and the neighbors there were one or two families were strong Catholic families, and while we were Protestants, we were members of the Methodist Church there at Sunnyside, and our son went to school at Sunnyside school there between Sunnyside and a couple of blocks on up, and had 2 years of his first public school life there. And there.
You've lived, you must have seen quite a few changes in your 97 years.
Yes.
Life must be radically different from...
Yeah, very, very heartbreaking for anyone as young as I was. It was a very lonesome experience. The relatives I had to go to in Portland were so vastly different in their religious views, and all the which I had been raised to accept.
Yeah, well, you've lived 97 years. What do you attribute your long life to?
I just don't know. I've wondered myself. I wish you'd tell me. Because I never supposed that I would exist that way, because the rest of the family were active and well and strong and young people, and I was always the first one to have the measles or anything that came up. I was always the first one to have it, and here I've outlived them all. They're all gone, and I'm still here thinking about them and wondering why I'm here when they're gone. This girl over here with us is one of the crowd. She's a niece of mine, my brother's family, and this child here, she died just shortly after that picture was taken, and the doctor said to her, "Now," he said, "if you lose her," my brother-in-law was a traveling salesman, and he met somewhere, Chet went and visited one of the orphan homes in the East for some reason, mm-hmm. and he met this baby, little girl, and he said, "I want to adopt her." And the doctor said, "Well, that'll be very nice for her, but," he said, "you'll lose her when she's 13 years old." He said, "She'll never go through the menstruation period without alive." Sure enough, Jean died. He brought her home, and they enjoyed her for a couple of years. Wonder why.
Yeah, I just got
it. See, now what is that? I forget.